Take your business beyond fast with connectivity and network solutions from Comcast Business. Nationwide, secure, reliable. Powered by the nation's largest gig speed network.
This is your tech news briefing for Tuesday, March 3rd. I'm Kateri Yoakum from the newsroom of The Wall Street Journal. As early as 2015, people inside of Apple raised concerns about the company's dependence on China. Those concerns were ultimately ignored, and now the coronavirus, tariffs, and slumping sales are raising fresh questions about Apple's China-heavy manufacturing strategy. Our reporter Trip Mickle will join us to explain after these headlines. The U.S. has indicted and sanctioned two Chinese nationals for allegedly helping hackers from North Korea launder around $100 million in stolen cryptocurrencies. That's according to an indictment that was unsealed on Monday. It's not the first time. Prosecutors say North Korean hackers have been targeting virtual currency exchanges. So far, they've stolen more than $300 million from multiple exchanges. Officials believe that the pattern is evidence that the North Korean regime is reaching out for help to get around global sanctions. And they believe that money is ultimately being used to fund North Korea's nuclear weapons program. Uber and Lyft are spending millions of dollars to try and boot California lawmakers out of office. Specifically, one Republican lawmaker who helped pass the state's new AB 5 law, which went into effect earlier this year. It gives more gig workers employee benefits like paid time off. Many companies in the gig space, including Uber and Lyft, lobbied hard against the law since it makes doing business significantly more expensive for them. A company spokesman says this push to oust legislators is part of the company's broader strategy to roll back the law, which includes a lawsuit and a ballot initiative in November. Up next, Apple has been keeping all of its iPhones in the same basket, China. Our reporter Trip Mickle will join us to explain how trade tensions, falling sales, and the coronavirus are causing some people to take a second look at that strategy. That's after the break.
Comcast Business connectivity and network solutions help drive IoT devices, AI, and virtual network applications at peak performance to improve efficiency and customer experience for your business. Rely on Comcast Business for nationwide, secure, reliable performance powered by a gig speed network. Comcast Business, beyond fast.
Apple has bet big on China. Its manufacturing business supports millions of jobs there. And that relationship has made way for strong sales in the country, too. Sales in China account for nearly a fifth of Apple's total revenue. But in recent years, rounds of tariffs and slumping sales have made some question the company's focus on China. And now the coronavirus outbreak has shuttered many of China's manufacturing centers, and that's been posing serious problems for Apple's supply chain. Here to talk more about what's going on is our tech reporter, Trip Mickle. Trip, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
All right, let's back up a little bit. How did this relationship between Apple and China develop in the first place?
This relationship was really engineered and architected by Tim Cook. He joined the company in 1998. At the time, Apple was manufacturing a lot of its own products and was saddled with a ton of extra inventory. And this was a time period when many other computer brands like Dell and Compaq had begun outsourcing to Asia. And so what Tim Cook came in and did was he really followed the model and blueprint that the rest of the industry was using, and he began to rely on Asian manufacturers to make a lot of Apple's products. And one of the key partners that he found in that endeavor was Foxconn. And Foxconn, as we all know, has a big footprint in China. That footprint became bigger as Apple's products became bigger. And the two of them just reached a point where most of what Apple was making for the world, first iPods and later iPhones, were being made and assembled in China and then sent and distributed around the world.
And they've really pushed to meet the demands that have surged as Apple's iPhone sales have surged. How has that business expanded over time?
They sell about 200 million iPhones a year. I mean, that's a huge, huge number of any product, right? I mean, that would be the envy of anybody who's making just about anything in consumer goods. And Apple's been doing that for several years running now, with a product that they launched first in 2007. And that's part of the reason that the iPhone has become one of the best-selling products of all time.
And that's all expanded then their relationship in China as well.
Right, because what they have in China and what China is able to offer is this huge migrant workforce that many of these people are unskilled laborers who work for relatively low wages. And then China complements that workforce with a skilled workforce of manufacturing engineers that can make sure this unskilled workforce can manually do all the things that are required to make an iPhone, which is a very complex device to create. And even as we automate many of the manufacturing processes that exist in operations around the world, the iPhone still requires a good deal of manual labor.
So let's talk about the most recent breakdown kind of in that relationship. We're looking at kind of 2 months into the coronavirus outbreak. We've seen a lot of manufacturing centers in China shut down. Apple has already revised its first quarter expectations. What's the bigger impact been on Apple so far?
Apple had to come out in mid-February and announce that they weren't going to be able to meet their sales projections for the current quarter for two reasons. One, there was going to be less demand for their iPhones in China, iPhones and other products in China. And then two, they were going to have supply constraints. They weren't going to be able to make as many iPhones and other devices for the rest of the world. And that's particularly problematic because that is where Apple's concentrated its manufacturing footprint is China. I mean, it doesn't have a dual supply chain, so to speak, where it can turn to Mexico and rely on manufacturers in Mexico or India and rely on manufacturers in India to, in a robust way, make the iPhones and iPads that it needs to sell in this particular quarter and in the subsequent quarter if China is on kind of a holding pattern or frozen.
So I guess a big question that people would ask themselves is why not? Have there not been any voices within the company telling them to, you know, have a backup plan for China?
That was one of the fascinating things about doing some of the reporting here is that's exactly what some of the people in Apple's operations team had flagged internally was, hey, like, we are very dependent on China. And if there's, you know, a labor disruption or if there's some other issue, like, this could be really problematic. And they encouraged Apple to look at possibly shifting production of at least one product to Vietnam, for example. But that idea was rebuffed by some of the managers in the operations team because this network that they've grown to rely on in China is just such a well-oiled machine that to turn away from it is difficult.
So let's imagine that. What if the coronavirus worked like a catalyst and Apple did decide that it wasn't feasible any longer, they needed to move their production elsewhere, what would that process look like to kind of diversify their manufacturing centers?
Well, it would be a multi-year process of setting up a manufacturing plant in, let's say, Chennai, India, which is where Foxconn has recently set up some operations to begin manufacturing iPhones. And what it's going to have to do is train laborers there in order to do the work that's required to build an iPhone and do it as swiftly as an experienced Chinese workforce does it, which has been doing it for over a decade now. So that's going to take time. But then the other thing that Apple needs to do, and another advantage that China offers that no other country can provide, is it's created these clusters of suppliers that are nearby the main manufacturing hubs. And those clusters of suppliers that are supplying things like PCB boards, for example, that help the iPhone function, they're in such proximity that if there's an issue, in many cases, with a component, they can send over an engineer during the manufacturing process, the assembly process, who can come and evaluate what's going on with that component, go back, make modifications, get the component working so that downstream, when they're assembling the iPhone, it's not an issue anymore. China's been able to offer that for a number of years. The question is, could other countries or other places offer that as well, provide these clusters of component manufacturers that support the manufacturing process?
So based on that and your reporting, how likely do you think it is that Apple is going to start looking at other places or at least diversifying their supply chains to prevent something like this from happening in the future?
Tim Cook has downplayed the possibility of wholesale change to the supply chain. I mean, he spoke on Fox Business Network last week and said, as he looks at this, he sees the need to turn a few knobs, but not make any kind of wholesale fundamental changes to Apple's supply chain. You know, Apple has been taking gradual steps to building out some production in India. And as a consequence of tariffs, it has taken some steps to begin making AirPods Pro and some other products in Vietnam. The question will become, like, how robust do those efforts become in the future? And there's just no telling, but it would seem like if you've had an incident like this and you can't make the products you need to sell around the world, that you would at least consider creating some pockets around the world that could fill in if there were another major disruption in China.
Well, we'll see what happens. Reporter Trip Mickle, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.
And that was your Tech News Briefing. Don't forget that if you like this podcast, you can rate and review us in your app store. And if you want more news about Wall Street Journal podcasts, you can follow us on Twitter at WSJ Podcasts. I'm Kateri Yoakum from The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.